Do you want to set your child up for success? Is tutoring out of your budget, or perhaps you're someone like me who just wants to save money on private tutoring? Is this a big school year for your child? You know, maybe they're starting kindergarten or middle school. Maybe there's another milestone coming up. Or maybe your family moved. Oh my gosh, I moved so much when I was growing up. And the kids are starting a new school. Or maybe your child is ahead and just not getting challenged enough in class. Well, IXL Learning is here to help. IXL Learning is a fun online learning program for kids covering math, language, arts, science, and social studies. It's powered by advanced algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's right, it is school approved. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And How to Be Fine listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/fine. Visit IXL.com/fine to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Again, that's IXL.com/fine.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
Hey, Kristen.
Hey, Jolenta.
Are you missing self-help books as much as I am?
No, I am not.
Well, I am missing self-help books.
I know, Jolenta. I know you are.
Yeah, I miss them every day.
You know what?
What?
Fortunately, it's bonus episode time, so we still have plenty of self-help to talk about.
Yay, more self-help.
Buy the book. Buy the book.
That's right. It's time for a Buy the Book bonus episode. Every other week between now and our season 3 launch on May 24th, we'll be releasing a new bonus episode.
And this particular episode, our season 2 wrap-up, is when we rehash our latest season book by book and talk about what stuck, any new revelations, and what, in retrospect, was pure torture.
Up first, Bored and Brilliant by Manoush Zomorodi. Let's talk about what stuck, new revelations, and what was pure torture. Jolenta, you go first.
All right. For Bored and Brilliant, what stuck? I put my phone on Do Not Disturb more often. I guess that's from Bored and Brilliant, right? I think so. I take breaks more, like planned breaks from my phone, which I never did before. Also, I use out-of-office replies like all the time now.
Oh, yes, you do that.
Like
which
on any
great.
Long weekend or whatever, I'm just like, here, like, don't worry if you don't hear from me for 3 days. I'll get back to you on Monday, and I don't feel guilty. I give myself breaks from technology more. A new thought is I like being aware a little bit more of like the mindless activities I do and how much time they take up. I don't necessarily want to feel ashamed of how much time I spend on my phone or playing, you know, two dots or whatever. But I do think it was nice to take some time out of my life to be like, hey, let's acknowledge how much time I actually spend doing this, just to know.
Mm-hmm.
What haunts me from that book was the judgy moment app,
oh God,
right?
The moment app.
Like, I don't like being monitored for my own good by a machine that's judging me for using that machine. Like, I can't. I don't like it. How about you?
Well, I will begin by saying that for me, torture was also that freaking moment app.
Mm-hmm.
I was so upset by that tortured face. It was so sad, and it was in
everything in red.
It was
and
an anguish. Oh, it was so bad. I hated that. I don't like being monitored either.
Mm-hmm.
What stuck? I actually don't do it every day, but I do at least once a week still text a one sentence to somebody.
You do? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Even if it's just once a week and even if it's just one sentence. And it can be anything silly. It can be the acknowledgement of a holiday that's important to someone else that mm-hmm. I don't even acknowledge. Like maybe it's important to their religion or culture. And so, yeah, I still try to do that once a week. And then as far as new revelations,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the biggest revelation I already talked about in the episode was I use my phone way more than I thought I did.
Right, right.
Which I guess I'm still making peace with that. Mm-hmm. I'm not torturing myself over it, but right. you know, you I'm pretty much making peace with that. All right, let's talk about the next book, The Little Book of Hygge, by everyone's favorite trouser model, Mike Viking.
You go first on this one.
All right. So what stuck? Well, that Christmas feeling in my heart, but that's always been there. So can I even give credit to this book?
I don't know if the book gave you that Christmas spirit.
I just watched a Christmas movie the other day. It's like 62 degrees out today, and I watched a Christmas movie the other day. Loved it. New revelations. I guess, I don't know if I talked about it much in the episode, but so much of Minnesota culture, which I grew up in, is kind of Scandinavian culture. And I felt like I understood Minnesota culture a little bit better from this book. I think that Minnesota has a reputation for being very nice, but very exclusionary.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of my friends who moved into Minnesota from other places said it took them years to make friends because no one would invite them over.
That's so weird.
I know. It's so weird.
They're too busy being hygge with like tiny groups of four.
Yes. Only with the four people you've always known. And so, I mean, that was kind of a cultural insight that I thought was interesting.
Nice.
And what was pure torture? God, I mean, I don't know if anything was really torture, but I think other people were probably tortured by me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, interesting. If we want to jump into my
months and months,
if we want to jump into my analysis of the book, the thing that has left me haunted are Christmas obsessed people, including you. I feel like this book gave you just a free pass to never shut up about Christmas to me in particular.
Oh, I loved that. Yeah.
So that's what haunts me. What have I kept from hygge? My love of candles.
That was already there. You and your candles.
But now I'm like, it's not just because I happen to like candles. It's adding to that whole atmosphere of my home. It's doing everyone a favor.
Mm, so you frame things
differently
now.
So I've just justified my love of candles even more,
I
guess.
Got it.
And my new thought, I've been thinking a lot. I like when the hygge book talks about bringing elements of nature inside of your home and how that is important. And, like, good for the spirit. And I do like that. So I have a few more, like, shells and pine cones in my house now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's nice. All right. Let's talk about a book that I nominated for us to live by.
Oh, yes, yes.
Why Good Things Happen to Good People by Jill Nymark and Stephen G. Post. Jill, do you want to go first on this one?
What stuck? I am still helping moms with strollers when I see them. Yay. That's about it. Any new thoughts I've had? I guess I liked that the book, for me, made the connection between knowing your own personal mission statement and, like, your actual goals and, like, impacting the world around you and being a better person overall. Like, taking that time to figure out what you're about helps you give back, you know, not just slogging away at your 9-to-5 and not questioning anything and, like, donating to charity or whatever. You know, I like that figuring out your life and being a good person and doing good in the world are all connected. And that book sort of drew that connection for me.
And what the torture?
Me? Honestly, nothing.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Nothing tortured you about it? Because I was going to say, maybe it didn't torture you as much as it tortured me. That whole question about forgiveness, you just dismissed it.
I just ignored it. Yeah, it didn't torture me at all. I just totally I like literally forgot about it until just now. So it definitely didn't torture me at all.
No, it didn't make an impression in the slightest. Nope. You don't even remember that stuff.
It's like water off the duck's back. Like, what? No.
Well, let's see. So what stuck with me actually was my guilt about plastic. Do you remember?
Oh, right.
Do you remember the volunteer work I did?
Yeah.
And I volunteered to deliver food from gourmet restaurants
to
homeless shelters. And I was so disheartened by all the plastic that was used. And so, I mean, it's been really upsetting. So I've been thinking about other ways to reduce waste and so on. And that really stuck with me. So, for example, I did some research and I found out I can go to Best Buy and recycle any electronics, including broken curling irons.
You don't know that? I bring them all my 10-year-old computers.
My God, it's fantastic. Like broken clock radios.
You can bring them any electronic. It's great.
So I've been just trying to find other ways to deal with my guilt about living in this modern age and all the waste that we have.
Yeah.
So I'd say that stuck is the guilt about plastic, which is not actually about the book.
I don't know, but it's sort what of stuck with you from the book. So it worked. I don't know.
Yeah. New revelation. Wow, this is going deep. But, you know, one of the things that we did in the book, Jolenta, is you and I both spoke out about men who were inappropriate to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, like, that has been amazing, the revelation of that. How many people have reached out to both me and to you about that.
Yeah.
I did not expect that to have such an impact on so many people. And I've heard from over 100 people. I've heard from people I went to college with. I've heard from people who knew me 20 years ago.
Wow.
It's amazing how many people have reached out to me and said, that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I commend you for doing that. So that was like amazing. And I think you had the same experience.
Right,
we were kind
of
shocked
yeah.
with how many people reached out and said that that was meaningful to them. So that was really great. Shall we move on to the miracle morning? Everyone's favorite
dear.
Level 10
do
guy.
Let's
your
do
pal,
let's.
Hal. Hal Elrod.
Oh my gosh. You go first.
Okay. So what stuck is I hate this book. New Revelations.
Yay.
I hate this book. What was pure torture? The book. Is that okay? Can I just give
I think
that as the answer?
Perfect. I love it.
Or is that not an okay answer? Well, you know what? I will say one revelation, which is I think that we just need to double down on our agreement that we don't do books that are bad for our health.
Exactly.
And we let ourselves quit books that are bad for our health. In season one, when we were living by French Women Don't Get Fat, we talked frankly about how that book was causing me psychological, physical, emotional turmoil. It was very bad for me. It put me into a tailspin that lasted weeks after that book. And Miracle Morning was so bad for us. You were so sick, Jolenta.
Yeah, it sucked.
You
it
were
sucked.
Like, you were dizzy and not getting out of bed for days. And you were upset, like, oh, should I keep doing this book? It's like, no, you should not keep doing books that are hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting less than 4 hours of sleep a night. So I guess not really a revelation, but so much as a reminder, we can't get sick for the show.
Yeah. Here's what I took away from Miracle Morning. I have kept nothing. No. I have kept the term level 10 person.
It's really funny
in
to
my
throw
vocabulary.
Around.
I would say it gets a good laugh once in a while. Like that has stuck, truly. New thought. I've been thinking a lot about people's reactions to this book and to our experience of the book.
So many reactions.
People reacted really strongly to us not liking the book and not liking getting up early. And I've just, you know, I've never spent much time thinking about how we identify with our habits and how if someone doesn't like a habit that is important to our life, it is as though they are saying they don't like us. And just how much we identify like our routines and our daily habits with our personalities themselves, you know, and our personhood.
Mm.
So I've been thinking a lot about that and just how insulted people can be if you say, like, I don't like getting up early. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people felt we were insulting their way of life.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not that I think you're stupid, but it just really is stupid for me.
Yeah.
And, the thing that still haunts me is the idea that you don't need as much sleep as, like, your body wants. Like, again, irresponsible, not necessarily healthy. Like, not advice coming from any expert in sleep whatsoever. Just a guy.
My doctor would not approve
like,
of that message.
I don't like when a book is irresponsible and says that like taking care of yourself and like sleep, which is a basic human need, is a weakness or you know, not living up to your potential.
We hated that book.
For sure.
Well, yo, I need a break. We are halfway through talking about our second season of Living by the Book, and we'll be back in just a moment with the second half of the season and all of our takeaways.
Do you ever find yourself wading through your newsfeed on Facebook or Twitter, wishing you could just call someone up and ask, what do I really need to pay attention to here? Well, what if you could? I'm Mary Harris, the host of What Next, Slate's new daily news podcast. And every weekday morning, I'm going to be on call for you, taking you inside one story, going deep behind the headlines. What Next is news you're not going to get just scrolling through your phone. To listen, subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Hey, By the Book fans, we know that a lot of you are thirsty for more great listening while By the Book is between seasons, and we have two suggestions for you. First, if you're not already subscribed to When Megan Met Harry, Please subscribe now. It's hosted by me, Kristen Meinzer, and my favorite British ginger, James Barr. In each episode, we dish on Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, and the greatest love of all time. Along the way, we talk with psychics, experts, and friends of the couple about everything from royal divorces to wedding predictions. When Meghan Met Harry is on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you find your favorite shows. Second, for all you true crime fans out there, and we've heard from a lot of you, check out the amazing new podcast from Panoply called Empire on Blood. It's a 7-part series, but this isn't just any true crime podcast. Empire on Blood looks at a very different kind of criminal, a drug kingpin who was framed for double homicide by his former friend and business partner. Journalist Steve Fishman spent 7 years investigating this story of murder, betrayal, and one man's journey to overturn his life sentence. All 7 episodes of Empire on Blood are available now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. All right, we're back with our season 2 wrap-up, and in this bonus episode, we're going book by book through our second season and talking about what stuck, our new revelations, and what was pure torture. Jolenta, let's talk about the 5th book we lived by this season, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself by Shad Helmstetter.
I am very on board to talk about this one. What I kept from this book, I try to talk less shit about myself. To myself, and especially around other people. I'm really trying to not, like, insult myself and in front of other people. I realize it just makes them uncomfortable, and it looks like I'm fishing for compliments. I'm like, that's not cute. New thoughts. Oh, this is just I've been thinking about how this is the most fun I've had recommending a book on this podcast. I love being able to say I read a book and, like, without hesitation, it was just a great experience. And, like, here's a copy. I've, like, fully recommend it. That was nice. It was nice to not have, like, a but or an ish in my verdict. Yeah. Like, it was just nice. What has haunted me from this book is just how aggressive Kristen has been about affirming ever since we've done this book. Similar to the Christmas monster. It's just a lot of, like, yelling you're great at people and, like, you know, it's just she's really aggressive and I love it, but it's also a little haunting.
It's a friendly haunting, though. It's not like one of those ones where you open the basement door and then you don't want to go down into the basement.
No. It's a very, like, Casper the Friendly Ghost situation, but, like, haunting nonetheless.
Yeah. Not a Sixth Sense ghost.
How about you, Kristen?
So what stuck? I still sometimes do that morning routine. Good morning, Kristen. It's a beautiful day, Kristen. Yes, it is, Kristen. Are we lucky to be alive today, Kristen? Yes, we are, Kristen.
Do you use your inside voice when you do this?
Let's use our magical feet. We're so lucky we have feet. Let's walk on them. That's how I sound.
Have you been using your inside voice as
I guess not, because I sound exactly
like
what I just...
No, you're yelling it. Yeah, you're yelling it into a microphone.
I love it. It just cracks me up anytime. Even if I just say it in my head, it totally cracks me up, the whole morning conversation. I love that. New revelations. You know what? I was very surprised that hundreds of people wrote to us and said that they bought that book after listening to our show. And that some people thought the name of our show was By the Book spelled B-U-Y. That was a surprise to me. Because we did not set up this show with a specific purpose of trying to sell books. And none of these...
No.
None of the publishers of these books are trying to, like...
We're not working to sell any books. We're not in tandem with any authors or publishers. We just read self-help books.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that was really surprising how many people thought we were a bookstore or something. But interestingly, Cameron did set up a bookstore on our Buy the Book .panoply.fm page.
So, oh, yeah, there are links to all the books we've read.
Yeah, so you can research all the books. You can buy the books there. That way they're all in one central location. But that was never the purpose of the show. What was pure torture? Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing that was pure torture when I was starting off with this book was, remember when I couldn't find the right self-talk tapes to listen to?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of crap on YouTube. There's a lot of bad.
Yeah,
bad,
there's a lot of bad, like, sort of crap. Fake hypnosis
stuff. Yeah, really.
Weeding through that is torture.
Yeah, that was torture. But that was really it. Overall, I mean, I still stick by my guns. I still liked this book a lot.
Oh, me too, totally.
Still liked it.
What about our next book, Kristen, The 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman?
Oh, you go first on this
one.
Oh,
I go first?
Yes, you go first.
Okie doke. What did I keep? I kept working on how I talk to and about my partner, Brad. I am trying to be less shy or withholding in public, especially just complimenting him and saying what I like about him in public instead of teasing him.
I bet he loves that.
He does. Just the other night, we were watching TV with friends, and I something reminded me of when we were dating and first falling in love, and I started, I was like, oh my gosh, when Brad and I were first falling in love, like, he used to blah, blah, and everyone was like, aw, and I was like, oh, this is nicer than being like, Brad's an idiot, right, everyone? So yeah, I've kept working on Brad's love languages. New thought. Oh, I've also been really thinking about my friends' love languages ever since this, because I figured out yours and I feel like I'm able to be a bit of a better friend to you.
Oh my God, you've been outstanding.
So I've just been trying to like sort of subtly keep tabs when I see my friends where I'm like, oh, this friend always shows up with like trinkets and desserts and stuff. Like, I bet she really likes gifts. So when I go to her house, like, I'll be sure to like not just bring like, oh, here's wine that was already on my shelf, but like maybe I'll get something like special for her, like, because she seems to extra appreciate that, blah, blah, blah. You know, that sort of thing. What has haunted me? Kristen's tub.
No. I knew you were going to say
that. I had to.
It's haunting Cameron, too. Look at his face right now.
Cameron just turned red. No, nothing haunted me, really. I think it's a nice book. I mean, what haunted me is a lot of listener feedback about gifts.
Oh.
But I feel like that probably haunted you, Kristen, more than me.
Yeah. I mean, we asked people to send us explanations of the love language of receiving gifts because nobody who works on this show, except for our managing producer, Mia, actually. Mm-hmm. Mia, our managing producer, does speak the love language of receiving gifts, and she has final sign-off on every episode. So she actually listened through that episode, and she said it was, like, her favorite one. She loved it, and she laughed her head off about the little asides about...
I know, the gift stuff.
About gifts. So she loved it. So she wasn't offended at all by it. So we put it out into the world with her sign-off on it, but a lot of people were offended by that episode. Mm-hmm. And I guess the only thing I would call pure torture from that were the people who called me names.
Yeah.
Because some of the people who wrote in did what we asked them to, which was, oh, give us an explanation.
Like,
we would love to know your point of view.
Here's what I mean by gifts. Like, yes. I don't want flowers and diamonds, but like if you see a feather, like, I love that. Or,
yeah.
You know.
But the people who wrote in and didn't just share their thoughts or explanations, but actually called me names, and some of the names were very, very mean, you know, and very hurtful. They were bad enough that Cameron, who's like the sweetest, calmest, kindest, he never gets angry producer in the whole world, he got really angry about some of them and was being sweet. And he's like, Kristen, don't read any more of these because some of them, you know,
are like just mean.
Some of them were just mean. They
Which I guess
nice.
I feel like goes back to an earlier takeaway I had from Miracle Morning, which is like, when people really identify with certain things, like if you don't understand it,
they think you're insulting
really
them as human.
And like, I get that too. I felt that way when we lived by glass with the Countess. Just because you didn't understand Housewives, I was like, no, you have to feel the way I feel. But like, I can't make you. I cannot, and that's okay. We're all different.
We've come to a place of peace over that, though. Mm-hmm. We're at a place
it's
of
true.
Peace with that.
It's true.
Let's see. What stuck with the love languages? I do try to make more of an effort to touch Dean in the ways that I considered a little bit heavy-handed with me.
Mm-hmm.
But he obviously likes that style of touching. So it's like, if you want me to be that aggressive with you, I will just do that all the time. I'll do it. We'll just be watching Netflix and you'll be watching your sci-fi movie and I'll be eBay shopping or whatever and I'll just reach over and do that. There you
go. Nice.
There you
go. Great.
Oh, God, it's giving you flashbacks to the hot tub.
I know. I feel like I'm in the tub. Like, now I'm on the couch with you guys. And imagine you, like, reaching over me to touch Dean. I don't know.
Oh, and then a new revelation. This isn't quite a revelation so much as it made me kind of sad that some people who wrote to us sounded very distressed and said, I don't feel like I fall into one of these languages. What's wrong with me? Or my spouse doesn't. And it was a real revelation to hear from people who said that they strongly needed this book and were upset that it didn't apply to them. And I didn't know that people took all these self-help books that seriously.
Right, right.
And I should know that they do, because I know you take them very seriously, Jolenta.
Come on, Kristen.
But this was one where I was just like, please, folks, don't be upset with yourself. You're not broken just because this book doesn't work for you.
Just you can't force yourself into the criteria of like a random person's like theory on love.
Who says you have to fall into one of five categories?
No one says you have to, except for this book.
Yeah, this is just one person with his one book and his one theory. Mm-hmm. It's okay if this book doesn't speak to you. It's totally fine.
You're not broken.
You're not broken, people. You're not broken. All right. Shall we move on to this year's, shall we call it, wild card book? You know, last season, this season. We did a wacky book season one, the one about past lives. And season two, we also did kind of a wacky book, the Wild Unknown Tarot deck and guidebook by Kim Crayons.
Yeah, you go first this time.
Okay, so what stuck? That would be nothing, I'm not continuing with any tarot stuff at all. I'm just not doing it. New revelations, I get freaked out by things I don't understand, but I guess I kind of knew that, but I didn't realize the extent to which I could freak out over stuff I don't understand.
Things with a bit of a hint of supernatural, I think.
That's probably true.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I am definitely one of those people who, when I was a kid and you and your friends maybe have a sleepover and you watch horror movies, if the horror movies had anything to do with supernatural, it freaked me out way more than if it's just a serial killer on the loose.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah. Like, is the wall bleeding?
Yeah.
Are there twins in the hallway and the wall is bleeding and then the twins disappear?
Up.
It's like, no, that is supernatural and that is scary. I would just have like some serial killer on the loose.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah. So I guess that was a revelation of like how completely freaked out I can get by supernatural things. And what was pure torture? That whole 2 weeks, actually, it was really bad.
It was very, very bad.
Let me just reiterate. Cameron had to deal with me every day being a freak at work. I was a mess.
That was so bizarre.
Yeah,
I love it.
It was torture.
All right, my turn. What has stuck with me? I still do readings for my friends. It is now something people request of me on occasion.
Nice.
But again, it's usually at like a gathering where we're drinking and hanging out. Like it's at a girls' night or a party or, you know.
It's just something fun.
A vacation. Like you bring the tarot cards along with like maybe a board game. But like it's fun and it gets us talking about deeper things. But yeah, so I've kept doing readings. New thoughts. I think in retrospect, this book did not change my life or anything, but I don't know if I gave it enough credit for helping me contextualize things. I liked having that framework every day and that sort of, you know, built-in, like, nugget to think about throughout the day.
From drawing the daily card.
Right. I feel like it helped me contextualize my daily actions and sort of match my inner life with my outer actions in a way I don't always think about. And I don't think I gave the cards the credit they were due.
Wow.
I still think it's just like a fun trick to help you contextualize and stuff. But like it did sort of get me thinking in ways I hadn't before.
So maybe it was a better book than you initially said it was.
I think it might have been better. Yeah, but I think it also comes from a basic understanding of tarot that I didn't get from that book. You know,
yeah, yeah.
What haunts me is how superstitious you really are.
Oh yeah, you didn't believe me at first when I told you.
We do this show together because you are my level-headed friend, and then all of a sudden you're like, "That card was too evil. I couldn't touch it." And I'm like, "What?
No, it didn't sound like that. It sounded like I can't get any cards. No,
you're the person I go to for a lawyer, and you're like, "That card was evil." Like, that is haunting to me. That is disturbing.
Don't go into a house in the woods with me.
No, you're going to get me more scared.
That has etched drawings and little sticks tied together.
I'm never taking you
camping. Don't ever take me to
anything.
That place.
No.
Don't ever take me there because you don't want to know how bad it gets. All right. It's time to talk about our final book of season two, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson. So, what stuck with me was, you know, I hate to completely repeat what I said earlier about Miracle Morning, but I'm going to do it. What
do
stuck?
It.
Nothing. New revelations? Nothing. What was pure torture? Everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing that was really just torture was just, I can't handle any more really, really rich, heterosexual, able-bodied men telling me that I'm living my life wrong. Mm-hmm. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And we as women, me as a woman of color, this is what we've heard our entire lives, and I just don't want to sit down and read a whole book telling
right.
me the same thing.
I think
thing
maybe
the world
it's
tells me.
A revelation when you're a straight white man and you don't get challenged every day for your thoughts and ideas just because of like the body they are coming out of. Like, you have to learn how to check yourself and like give yourself new standards. But when you're constantly being measured by societal standards that are insane because you're a woman, like, maybe you don't need it.
Yeah. So what about you, Jolenta? What stuck? What are your revelations? What is torture?
I will give the book credit that I did like the idea of forcing yourself to do something with an idea you are stuck on, just to get moving on it and to not judge where it goes. I liked that one step of the book. I made a weird little infographic with a joke that was driving me insane that I knew wasn't working as a joke, but I couldn't get the idea out of my head, and I did nothing with it for like a year. But then that book got me off my ass, and I did something with it. Like, it's done. I've moved on to other ideas. Like, it's out of my system.
That was good. That was good. And that was funny, too. The infographic
you
made was really good. And then also, I mean, I will second that as far as setting up the Facebook community the way I did,
yes.
so that we started gleaning all that information from our listeners,
like, that
so that it was
good.
More user friendly for the listeners.
Of our
yeah,
acts
that's true.
Of
that's true.
Doing something with something we feel stuck with, like, we're fruitful.
Yeah, that was true.
New thoughts. I just wrote, nah, haven't given it much thought since. So no, what haunts me? I mean, I'm gonna reiterate what I think we've said a bunch. I am haunted by how little it seems we ask men to grow in our current society. This is essentially another one of these books written by men that's sort of about getting over yourself and admitting when, like, you know, living for image and money and cars might be a little shallow and getting past that. And for these men, it's always this like groundbreaking revelation and they need to write a book about it. But I think for people who are faced with more struggle day to day just for, you know, how they look or their gender or their sexual preference, like, I don't think it's such a groundbreaking idea. So it just makes me worry more about how men go through life day to day where they feel like these books are mind blowing and we feel like you haven't been taught this already.
You should know this. You should know this as a human.
It's disheartening. And, you know, hearing the feedback we get even from women about, like, no, it's good to admit you're a piece of shit and, like, strive for more. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't have to.
You don't have to have a man tell you you're failing in order to, like, rebuild yourself.
No, absolutely not. No.
There we go.
Well, that leads us to the big overarching questions, which are, which book was our favorite from season two, and which was our least favorite? So what was your favorite book of season two?
My favorite book from season two was What to Say When You Talk to
of
Yourself.
Of course, mine too. Yes, there's no question
the
about
book
that.
We've ever fully agreed on and fully recommended without an ish or a but or anything.
Yeah, it was just a solid book, and I would recommend it to anybody, and I'd have no guilt about it, and it was fun. It was happy making. It was all sorts of things that we want this show to be and that we want our lives
yeah,
to be. So absolutely, without hesitation, that was the best book. I agree with you for season two. What was the worst book we lived by in season two?
I wonder if we'll agree on this one. I have decided official worst book for me of season two is The Miracle Morning.
Yes, I agree with you on that one.
Again,
also,
I feel like it was a bit more detrimental. I feel like it was a bit more detrimental than
Mark Manson's book.
I got sick. I didn't sleep enough. I like felt more inadequate during Miracle Morning than Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I mean, as you were saying, we actually had accomplished a couple of things during Mark Manson's book.
Yeah, that book got me to do something like I don't regret, you know?
Whereas Miracle Morning, as soon as it was done with, I went right back to my old way of doing things and I threw that book away. I just was like, that is it. No more. That book was horrible. It was trash.
Well, I'm so glad we agreed.
Yay! How often does that happen? We agreed.
Rarely.
A lot this time, except you don't agree with me about cards being haunted.
Nope.
You don't think so. Okay. All right. That's it for this bonus episode of By the Book.
And remember, we are still taking any questions you have for us or for our husbands, Brad or Dean, or for our producer, Cameron, for more upcoming bonus episodes, so send all those questions our way.
You can reach us at 505-510-BOOK or write to us at buythebook@panoply.fm. You can also tweet us at Jolenta G, at Kristen Meinzer, or at buythebookpod.
Thanks, as always, to our producer, Cameron Drews, and our managing producer, Mia Lobel.
Until next time, I'm Kristen Meinzer.
And I'm Jolenta Greenberg.
Bye-bye. We hated that book.
For sure.
For sure, yo pal hal. What was that accent I just did?
I don't even know what that is.
It's because I don't know how to pronounce yo pal hal.
Yo pal hal. You got to do your hand like this when that you thing, go yo pal
I have to do
hal.
That thing with my hand that you're doing?
Yeah. It's the only way you can say yo pal.
Oh, God. Well, yo, I need a break because... Yo, yeah.